Is Illinois closing one day at a time? Greg Bays thinks so. He's the president and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association, and he wrote an op-ed piece that ran in several newspapers on that topic. He joins us today. And Mr. Bays, when you say closing in Illinois, what are you trying to explain there?
Well, unfortunately, and I've been in the political business and the association business for a long time in the state. I grew up just west of here in Jacksonville, Illinois, and so I've traveled around the state for a lot of years. And recently I made a trip back home to Jacksonville to the funeral of a political mentor of mine. And as I was leaving town, I couldn't help but notice sort of the around the edges of the community looking a little worse for wear. And part of it is because the manufacturing base in that town has shrunk considerably over the last few years. When I was a young man, I remember Capitol Records. In fact, the first Beatle albums were made in Jacksonville in Capitol Records. And the Anderson Clayton facility, which then became AC Humco, a food manufacturer and processor, been there since post-World War II closed. And several other facilities have left town, and it's not unusual to Jacksonville. I was in Peoria later that week, and as you come in on the north side of that town, you see facility after facility that the parking lots of grass overgrowing them, the buildings empty now. And so the manufacturing base has been shrinking. I've been in this job for 20 years, and while our employment base has remained fairly stable for the last few years, about 650,000 people are employed in manufacturing throughout the state of Illinois, you see and you hear the lament of those facilities closing, especially in downstate communities. And so my point was is that I have continued to see over the last few years this decrease in growth and actually disappearance of the manufacturing base. And then what occurs in communities when that happens? Housing stock goes down, retail institutions close, restaurants are no longer there. And it's something that's not being replaced, and it's something that I felt I wanted to write about and observe that it is indeed somewhat of a slow process, but it is a process that's going on.
Well, you represent many of these major employers. What seems to be, in their view, what's the reason behind this?
First off, manufacturing has changed dramatically in the last 20, 25 years. That's very readily apparent. Heavy manufacturing and steel production used to be very much very prominent in this state. Much of that has left due to overseas competition. You have seen other facilities leave because in other states employment costs are lower, incentives are given, taxes are lower. There's a stability in states in the South and border states and even around us in Indiana and Wisconsin that has drawn some of that. But there is a lament that I hear over and over from my members and from others that Illinois does not seem to have its act together any longer. Could Chicago become another Detroit? It's hard to think of that when you go to that city and the vibrancy that's going on there and the mix of economics that are there. But are we headed toward a direction because our state and local government can't seem to solve some very serious problems, not the least of which this growing and ever burdensome pension debt situation that takes upwards of $5 to $6 billion in payments each year on a base of $35 to $36 billion of general revenue funds that should be going to education, infrastructure, other items? And so business leaders look for and how their government is being run, and what they see in Illinois is a very concerning to them that they have not solved this problem along with many of the other problems that we face. And that's what I think is leading to that sort of exodus of manufacturing from this state.
Now, you, of course, have a background in Republican politics, and, of course, right now the state government is controlled by Democrats. But from reading what you had to say in this article, you're really pointing out this is not a partisan issue.
It's not at all. I would not lay it at the feet of Democrats solely, Republicans' leadership. Jim Thompson became governor in 1977. Republicans controlled the state house into the mid-90s, actually into the early 2000s when George Ryan last was governor. Many of the problems, the pension crises that we face today, was started in those days when decisions were being made to defer payments or believing that there was a return on the investment that was higher than that could be there. Also, the actuarial view of retirees, actually how long they were going to be able to draw pensions, was way and woefully understated. So this problem has not been at the laid at the Democrat feet. All politicians have been a part of it. But Democrats are in control of state government today, and therefore responsibility at the moment is at their doorstep.
Now, we hear stories about companies not paying any income tax in Illinois and getting tax incentives in some cases to do certain things. It would seem from hearing that to me that businesses have it pretty good in Illinois. Why is that? Why would that not be the case?
Well, let's first dispel this myth that businesses don't pay taxes. First off, no one knows exactly who does or does not happen to have an income tax liability for a particular year unless somebody has access to Department of Revenue information. There are over 225,000 businesses in Illinois. Only about 22 to 2,500 don't have the exact number with me, are actually incorporated or corporations that would pay the corporate income tax. So that's 200,000 other businesses. How are they taxed? They're based on an S-corp or limited liability partnerships and things of that nature, which are taxed at the individual tax rate. So many of my members, medium and small manufacturers alike, are S-corporations, which means any profit that goes to the individual that owns that particular company is taxed at an individual rate. So they are paying taxes in that regard. Corporate taxes are not the only thing that we look at when you look at the cost of doing business in this state. We have a high sales tax. We have property taxes that are higher than normal. We have other business-related taxes that puts Illinois at a disadvantage when you compare it to other states. Is the corporate tax driving business out of this state? I would say that is not a lament I have heard from my members. What drives them out of this state is the fact that workers' compensation, unemployment insurance, business regulatory schemes that are put upon the backs of businesses are much more difficult here than it happens to be in other states. So it's that mixture that I believe has caused that. But it's also just a general view that for some reason people will always stay and operate in this state. Illinois has many great advantages. Transportation. We have a solid workforce that's educated and able to be trained in this state. We have natural resources that are here. Our location in the middle of the country just helps. But those can be overcome by other states when they look at how they can put different incentive packages together. And you mentioned programs being put together, not the least of which is in the news right now, the ADM situation. Those kinds of programs are not unusual in other states, and so you can see why when a company like ADM says they are looking for a new corporate headquarters, other states will say, here's what we can do for you to move those jobs to our city or our state.
We're talking with Greg Bays. He's president and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. Your article, your op-ed piece did sort of urge the residents of the state to contact politicians, those especially as we get ready for a gubernatorial race here in Illinois next year. And you mentioned both sides, both Republicans and Democrats. What do you think are some of the questions that need to be asked of these people?
First off, I hear really nothing on the Republican side, the side of the aisle that I'm most often seeing. I see nothing from any of our candidates yet that really explain what they would do, the slogans and the phraseologies that they're being talked about. They're the most electable. They work for a governor. They're going to take on the public employee unions. It's all sort of that general pablum that you hear a lot of in campaigns. What I want to hear is, and this is where I will also be critical of Governor Quinn, what specifically do you want to see occur to solve what is characterized the problem of the public employee pension systems in this state? What specifically will you support? Governor Quinn hasn't done, as I have seen in the past from other governors, really laid out a plan or a program, put it on the table and said, here's what I think we ought to do. And then make the General Assembly react to that. Instead, we have had this last couple of years of all this sort of general discussion and argument, the House Democrats and the Senate Democrats and House Republicans and Senate Republicans wanting this or that. None of them are willing to come to an agreement. And let's understand the way our system is set up. The legislative body is not programmed to lead. It is programmed to respond. So I'm critical of Governor Quinn for not making those same kind of proposals that I'd like to hear out of our Republican friends as well. The state income tax, that at the moment the temporary tax that was passed 2 years ago, is going to expire at the end of 2014. I have yet to hear, other than sort of a general passing by our candidates and saying, well, I want to see it replaced. I want to see it expire. Really? $36 billion or so of general revenue funds are generated in this state. The temporary tax that is on currently generates about $7.5 billion. A lot of money. Where are you going to replace that if you sort of casually say, I want to see it expire? No answers from our candidates. And Governor Quinn has talked around the question. There's a question out there, should we go to a progressive income tax instead of a flat tax that's out on the table? That would take a change in our state's constitution for that to occur. Okay. Are you really going to push that? Nobody seems to want to answer those questions. So my questioning in the article was demand of these candidates when they show up asking for your vote at a particular event or dinner. Have them answer these kinds of tough, tough questions. And how are you going to improve the business climate to be competitive with our friends in Indiana, with those in the South? What can we do to keep these businesses so as I drive out of Peoria, I don't see the kind of decay that you see in that particular community?
My hometown really was a manufacturing base as well for a number of years, and it had very low unemployment, and people did very well working those jobs. And much of that manufacturing of the last 20, 30 years has now gone. And I would argue most people there do not expect it's going to come back no matter what. Can you give me a view overall of manufacturing and the future of it in Illinois? Are we ever going to see a return to what it once was? Or at best, are we going to be able to try to keep the jobs that are currently here?
First, we need to keep the jobs that are currently here. But second, we can become very competitive by making sure we have an educated workforce. We have jobs available in manufacturing facilities in almost any part of the state that you go to. When I visit a member, you will see a sign for specific jobs that are open in that manufacturing facility. The problem of it is our educational system is not doing a good enough job at the moment in training and in getting certified employees for the particular kind of jobs that are there. We need to do a better job at that. If you have employees that are trained and ready to go to work, manufacturers will look at that as a very top priority to be able to do that. Do we see the wellspring of growth that we may have seen when I was a child and post-World War II had really caused cities like Peoria, Danville, Decatur, Jacksonville, and others to have growth there? Most likely not. What we can do, though, is to make sure that we have the skills and the workforce and the incentives for businesses to stay, and we can compete for those jobs that are going to be located in the central part of the United States. So I think the future could be bright. I think the future could be better if we had leadership that would really talk about it in a reasonable and educated fashion.
It hasn't been that long ago that Illinois made some changes in its workers' comp legislation. And I know a lot of the business community, not everybody, but a lot was behind that. Has that worked? Is that, you mentioned earlier that that was still a concern.
It is a concern. There was improvement there. Part of the areas that we talk about is the workers' comp advisory board that was put into place has had a lot more input in the hiring of arbitrators. The governor's responsibility in workers' comp is to appoint work commissioners to the work comp commission and arbitrators who hear cases. And when people are injured on the job, they should be taken care of. They should be their medical bills paid on time, and that the manner in which they're taken care of and get back to work as soon as possible is done in the most efficient fashion. Some of that has helped and improved, and we have a better comp commission, I think, today. We have better trained arbitrators in balancing that. But we are out of balance in some cases. First off, we still pay higher medical costs than our surrounding states. Why is that? Because the medical community is allowed to charge higher fees for workers' comp than in the health and other areas in the medical community. And studies will show you that a similar procedure in Illinois is anywhere from 10, 15, maybe 30 to 40% higher than it is in a neighboring state. Our frequency of visits, chiropractors, physical therapy, things of that nature, are considerably higher. Are injuries different in Illinois than they are in Indiana? I don't think so. We need to have more efficiencies that are placed there, always remembering that the injured workers should be taken care of in a proper fashion. So that causes our cost to be higher. Also, the area of the value of the loss of some portion of your body or limited range or injury to a body part. We in Illinois as a society have decided that the injury of a knee, the loss of a finger, the inability to use a hand after being injured – is compensated at a higher level than it is in other states. And so you have to understand that's a cost that makes our comp costs higher. Have we made improvements? Yes. Do we need to go back and revisit that law? Absolutely. And I hope the new governor, or Governor Quinn, if he's reelected, will do that shortly after the election.